simply, very tersely, verse 45 of the text, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So the message of Advent is Jesus came to give his life in service, to give his life in sacrifice. Service and sacrifice are values that contradict many of our values today. Many tend to look for inspiration from the bloody leaders of history. So you go to some business convention or workshop or seminar, the people often lifted up, people like Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan. Jesus has a different way of coming at life. I, the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve and give my life. We are taught, do whatever it takes to succeed in life. Even if you have to step on a couple heads, you do that to climb the ladder. But a symbol of Christianity is not the ladder that we climb. It is more the cross that we will be nailed on. The Son of Man came to give his life. I read about a coach who met with his recruiter at the beginning of the football season. And the recruiter asked, what kind of players are you looking for this year, coach? The coach said, you know the player who gets knocked down and doesn't get up? Yeah. The recruiter said, coach, you don't want that kind of player. The coach said, you're right. The coach said, you know the player who gets knocked down and gets back up, but he gets knocked down again? The recruiter said, you don't want a kind of player either, coach. Yeah, you're right. The coach said, you know the player who gets knocked down and gets back up, and he gets knocked down again and he gets back up, and he gets knocked down again and he gets back up. Yeah. Is that the kind of player you want, coach? No, said the coach. I want the player who is knocking everybody down. And yes, friends, that's the kind of politician we want, ain't it so? That's the kind of president we want, ain't it so? That's the kind of CEO we want. Is that the kind of pastor we want? Just asking. Jesus has a different way of coming at it. The Son of Man came to serve and give his life for many. So first, let us say Jesus came to live his life in service. The context of this story is that of two disciples, James and John, coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, we have a request of you. We have a request. And we want you to give it to us. Jesus asked, well, what is it you want? Well, Lord, we want that in your kingdom, one of us will sit on your right and the other on your left. Now, these sons of Zebedee are boys of high ambition, are they not? Do you know anybody like this? Let us say they have what? Let us say coach tickets, you know. They want an upgrade to first class. We are better than that. We deserve more. Don't treat us like you treat, you know, Peter and Andrew. We want to sit on your right and your left. Jesus turned to them and said, you boys don't know what you're asking. Now notice he doesn't say no, right? He said to them, you don't know what you are asking for. And I get the sense that many of my prayers are possibly greeted in heaven like that. you don't know what you're asking for. You saw it in the text, right? That is verse 38. You don't know what you are asking. So Jesus asked them, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? That is, can you suffer as I'm going to suffer? They say, yes, we can. Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? Suffering again? Yes, we can. You know that song? Anything you could do, we could do better. They are singing that song, Lord. You know, Lord, if you could do it, we can do it too. We are the boys of Zebedee. We are able. Now, you get the feeling that these two boys watch too much of that TV show, The Apprentice, you know? Look out for yourself above all else. We could do it better. Jesus doesn't say no. Jesus asks the question, are you up to it? For he is simply telling them, if you want an upgrade to first class, it's going to cost you more. I, the Son of Man, paid the price. I gave my life in sacrifice for the world. So in verse 43, he tells them, look at the rulers of the Gentile nations. They lord it over to the over the people they serve. They are the big boss. Like Servius Galba, who felt that now he was emperor, he could do whatever he wants to anybody in the empire. Some think like that today. Jesus is saying, I am the Son of Man, the Son of God. I came into the world not to be served, but to serve. And so Advent should call us, friends, to check our intentions and our ambitions. Check our hearts when we feel as though I'm not being treated fairly. Check our hearts when we say, I deserve better. I should get more. It's about service. The Son of Man came to serve. So we say, a person has to be served. Jesus says, a person has to serve. We say, a person has to save his life. Jesus says, a person has to give his life. We say, I, me. Jesus says, others. The Son of Man came to serve. Remember the words of John Kennedy? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We live in a different America today, right? It's all about what we could get. What would the government do for me? What could I get from others? The Son of Man came to serve. I'm sure you've run into many Salvation Army kettles over the holiday season, right? Every door of the mall, as it were, there's somebody with a kettle. What many Methodists don't know about the Salvation Army is this. The Salvation Army was started by a man named William Booth, who was a Methodist lay preacher in England. The man had a heart for the poor in London, and so he started that ministry of compassion. In the old days of the Salvation Army, salvation is in the name, they preached the saving gospel on the streets. I could still remember as a boy, a youngster, walking by and hearing the Salvation Army band playing by the street corner and an army officer preaching the word. The army grew to the point that it went out of England to many parts of the world. And so when their first international convention was called, General Booth was quite sick. Although he had planned to attend and give the keynote address, he couldn't make it. And the delegates longed to hear from the inspiring leader. So General Booth sent them a message, a telegram. It was his last sermon to them. It came in one word. What was that word? Others. Others. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life for others. So we're here today. And some of you may be wondering, what could I get from the Lord through this church? Please, that is good. We're here to serve. We should all expect to get from the Lord through this church. But may we also ask, what may I do for the Lord through this church? Amen. What may I give to the Lord through this church? Amen. How may I serve the Lord through this church? This is the message of Advent. He came to give his life in service. But secondly, he came to give his life in sacrifice. Verse 45 still. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Not to give an aspect of his life, to give his entire life, all of it, the essence of it, to give his everything. That's the message of Advent, the message of Christmas. So we are thinking of buying gifts for others. Every time you think of what to give to someone for Christmas, think of what he gave for you. He gave his life. A ransom. Now that's a word that, you know, we don't use today, a ransom. So let me tell you what it means. In the time of Christ, slavery was widely practiced in the Roman Empire. Oh, yes. Many, many, many people were enslaved in this day. And so when a person wanted to, let's say, set another person free from slavery, they would pay a price to set them free. What was that price called? Ransom. The money you pay to set somebody free. Jesus is saying, you mortals are in slavery. I have come to pay the price. What's the price? My life, to set you free. Are you with me? Amen. The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. Well, you may ask, how many? It doesn't say all here. How many? Many is, let us say, not an infinite number, but an indefinite number. Many is more than we could ever count. How many? As many as call upon his name. How many? John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How many? You, I, we all may be in that many. He came to give his life for, instead of, in my place, whatever happened to him on the cross should have happened to me. He gave his life a ransom. But you may say, preacher, I'm not in any slavery. I don't need setting free. I am okay. Well, Saddam Hussein thought he was okay too. Hitler thought he was okay too. We're not okay. We're not okay. So what did he come to set us free from? First of all, he came to set us free from this, let's say, spiritual isolation. We are separated from God. We are at a distance from God.
Without Christ in our lives, we feel as though God is far off, distant. Secondly, we are all under the curse of death. Spiritual death, that separation, and eternal death, which is called hell. Under that curse. And if you want to push me, friends, I would say, if I am not facing death, why would Jesus say, I have come to give life? If I already have life, spiritual life, eternal life, why would he say, I have come to give life? He has come to give life because we are in death. Thirdly, our problem, there's the evil one, the devil himself. And don't we pray? We'll pray it in a while. And deliver us from evil in the Lord's Prayer. And deliver us from evil. Add it all up. We are slaves to the dark side. Add it all up. We are spiritually dead, facing eternal death. Add it all up. Separated from God. Add it all up. Controlled by the evil one. And Jesus says, I have come to set you free. I have come to set you free. If you think everything is all right with the world, read the front page of the papers, huh? Listen to the headline news. Something is wrong with us. Something is twisted out of shape on the inside. You possibly heard a little story of the scorpion who wanted to get across the river. And he saw a beaver that was about to head over. So he asked the beaver, could I get on your back and get a ride over to the other side? The beaver said, no. You're going to sting me. We will both drown. The scorpion said, no, why would I do that? I would drown too. So why would I sting you? Trust me. That was a stupid beaver, I think. So the scorpion got on his back and began going across the river. Everything was going well. It was a sunny day, nice scenery, not too much motion, going well, and suddenly the scorpion stung the beaver. And as they're going down, the beaver asked, why did you sting me? You said you wouldn't do it. And the scorpion said, I know, but it is my nature. We have that nature in us. That thing of evil in us. The wars we fight, the violence in our streets, in our homes, wrecked economies because of human greed and selfishness. It is all wrong. Jesus says, I have come to give my life to set you free from that dark nature. And so Jesus came and he paid a price. And because he paid a price, the curse has been reversed. Now, those of us who feel separated from God would receive Christ as Emmanuel, God with us. That's the message of Advent. We don't have to feel far off from the Lord. He is now here. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it above the ordinary. He gives us life. We do not have to face death, even eternal death. We are in the grip of the evil one. And Jesus said, the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. That is why he came. To give his life in service. To give his life in sacrifice. But you may ask, well, what is special about his dying? He gave his life. We all die. Your death will never save you. Your death will never save another person. Only his death can save. Why is that so? Because he is the Son of God. So you're getting ready for Christmas. Getting ready for Christmas. What is Christmas all about? It is right here. One, the Son of God came to give his life in service, to give his life in sacrifice. If you ever know forgiveness in this life, it is going to be because of what he did on the cross. If you ever have peace in your soul and peace with God, it will be because of what he did on the cross. But again, someone may say, "Preacher, I'm okay. I'm not a slave to sin." I used to think just like that until he set me free. Come to him. And once he sets you free, you will see the dark pit out of which he lifts you to freedom. We're getting ready for Christmas. Do we know what it means? Getting ready to buy gifts. Have you received the greatest gift of all? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Give his life a ransom for him. Amen. Number 361.